We are up to Perek Tes, Mishnah Beis, Chapter 9, Mishnah 2 of Maseches Yevamos. The Mishnah continues now by going through the rest of the keys that we mentioned last time regarding those who are permissible to one party, but they're not permissible to the other party in terms of the same family regarding the husband and the Yavam, etc. Says the Mishnah as follows, Ve'ilu mutaros liv mehen v'asurus labalein. These women are fascinatingly, it's a very interesting case, but these women are permissible to their Yavams, but even though they were forbidden to their husbands. Who is that? Let's say Kohen Gadol Shekidesh Es Ha'amana. Yeah, Kohen Gadol who was married to a widow, right, which is not allowed. V'yishalach Kohen Hedjo, but he's a brother who's a regular Kohen, so he is permissible to marry the widow. So he can do Yibam with her after her husband dies. Kosher Shanasa Chalala, or even a totally kosher regular Kohen who marries a Chalala, right? So who? What's a Chalala? Chalala is a woman who is not permissible to a Kohen, just like, Chalala is a woman who's not permissible to a Kohen, either because she was born that way, meaning she's the child of a Kohen and a woman who was prohibited to the Kohen, or she is the daughter of a Chalala. So there are other reasons as well, but we'll start with that. So Kosher Shanasa. So if a regular Kohen who marries a Chalala, who is usher to him, but this Kohen has a Chalal brother who himself is Kohen is messed up, therefore he's not able to serve as a proper Kohen, so he's allowed to marry the Chalala. So therefore, even though the husband is usher to the Chalala, the regular Kohen is usher to the Chalala, his brother, the Yavim, is permissible to the Chalala. Yisrael Shanasa Mamzeres. Or let's say you have a case of a regular Yisrael who marries a Mamzeres, right, who is totally usher to him, v'yishlo ach Mamzer, and he has a brother who's a Mamzer. So he's allowed to marry Mamzeres. So he can then do Yibam on her. So he's permissible to her, even though the original husband wasn't. Mamzer Yishanasa Vas Yisrael. Or let's say you have a Mamzer who's married to a regular Bas Yisrael, a regular Jewess. And obviously they're not allowed to be married. V'yishlo ach Yisrael. And he has a brother who is a regular Yisrael, who's not a Mamzer. So he's allowed to marry her. So he can do Yibam with her. All these cases, Mutaros Liv Mehen Vasuris Labale. In all these cases, the women are permissible to their Yavams, even though they were forbidden to their husbands. Okay, Viter. Asuras la'ilu v'la'ilu. So these women are asur to both of these men, both the husband and they're prohibited to the yavam. They can't do yibam with them. So who are these people? Kohen gadol shanasa salman. If you have a kohen gadol who marries a widow, v'yishlo ach kohen gadol al kohen hedjo. And he has a brother who is either a kohen gadol. Oh, which, how does that work? How do you have two simultaneous Kohan Gadolim? Well, simply said, if you have one brother who's a Kohan Gadol, and for whatever reason he's either temporarily removed or perhaps even, I guess, permanently removed, so in such a situation, he will remain with his Kohuna Gadol, with his Kohen Gadol status, and then the other brother, let's say he becomes a Kohen Gadol. So let's say a very special family, so you have two Kohanim Gadolim in the family. So again, the Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, and then Yishlo Ach Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedjot, he has a brother who is either a Kohen Gadol or a regular Kohen, both of whom are not allowed to marry her once her first husband had relations with her, right? So neither one of them could do Yibam with her at that point, right? Because that relationship was forbidden. So the Kohen Gadol is prohibited because she's an Almana too, or more quite simply, any Kohen is prohibited to her because she is now in the halachic category of a Zona, because of the fact that she had a sexual relationship that was not allowed. So this is a case where the husband is prohibited to her and the Yavim is prohibited to her. Kasher Shanasa Chalala, or let's say you have a regular Kohen who marries a Chalala, V'yishlo Ach Kasher, and he also has a regular Kohen brother. So he's also prohibited to her. So they're both prohibited to her. Yisrael Shanasa Mamzeres, or you have a full Yisrael who marries Mamzeres, V'yishlo Ach Yisrael, and he also has a brother who's a Yisrael, and so he's also usher to her. Mamzer Shanasa Bas Yisrael, or you have a Mamzer who marries a regular Bas Yisrael, who is usher to him, obviously. V'yishlo Ach Mamzer, and he has another brother who's also a Mamzer. So he too is also prohibited to her. So they're both, in these cases, going to be prohibited to her. Says the Mishnah, Suros La'ilu V'la'ilu. All these cases, the women are prohibited to both the husbands and to the Yavams. Okay, Viter. And then finally, the Mishnah says, Ushaar Kol Hanashim Mutaros L'Balein Uliv Nehen. All the other women who have not been mentioned in this Mishnah are going to be permitted both to the husbands And two, the Arigavims. Now, the Mefarshim explained that's actually not true, right? We had what happened to the first mission of the Masechta, where we said there are 15 women who are not, basically not at all mentioned here, and that they're prohibited to, or the, that they are, will not, they're going to be forbidden to the Yavam. So what does this kol mean, that all these other women are going to be permissible to the husbands and the Yivmehen? No, it just means in general, whatever, basically everyone else. Of course, there are going to be exceptions, but basically everyone else is just not an all-inclusive all. So Vayter, Mishnah Gimel. So now, we've been dealing with biblical prohibitions and biblical forbidden relationships. So what about rabbinic forbidden relationships? Shnios medivrei sofrim. Let's say you have these secondary arayos who are prohibited because the rabbi said they're prohibited. Shnia labal velo shnia liyavim. If you have a woman who's a secondary ever to the husband but not to the yavim, asur labal umotaris liyavim. She's usur to the husband. Excuse me, but she is permissible to the Yavim, right? The first marriage was Aser Midar Rabbanan, but it was still binding, and therefore she can be taken in Yivam by the brother who is kosher to her. Shnei LaYavim velo Shnei LaBal. If you have a woman who's a secondary ever to the Yavim but not to the husband, so Asura LaYavim umateres LaBal. So she's forbidden to the Yavim, right? That makes a little bit more sense, or flows much more easily. She's forbidden to the Yavim, but she is permissible to the husband, right? Even though Midar Oraisa, she is a full-fledged Yavama when she falls to Yibam. Nonetheless, the rabbis say that she's prohibited from doing Yibam with this Yavim because she's a secondary erva to him. Shnei LaZeh velaZeh. If a woman is a secondary erva to both the husband and the Yavam, then Asura LaZeh velaZeh. Quite simply, she's forbidden, rabbinically at least, to both the husband and to the Yavam. Then says the Mishnah further, all these cases, if a man marries a secondary erva, right, violating this rabbinic prohibition over here, so even though the marriage is technically kosher, we believe it takes place, it's a true marriage, nonetheless, the rabbis do give a certain sense of a knas, almost, a penalty by depriving her of some of the basic marital benefits that you would expect in a regular marriage. So what are examples of these? So ein la lo ksuba. So this secondary erva doesn't get any ksuba payment from her husband, lo peiros, nor does she receive payment for the produce of her property, right, that her husband has used. She doesn't get any sort of payment for that, velo mazonos, nor does she get any food from her husband, right? There is a halachic obligation for the husband to provide food, so she does not get any food from her husband. And she doesn't receive any sort of payment for the loss of value of her worn out property. I believe she does actually get the property back as returned to her at the end of the marriage, but nonetheless, she doesn't receive any payments for the loss of value of her worn out property. But Vlad Kasher, but nonetheless, says all this, even though all these, she doesn't get all these things, still the Vlad, the child, is going to be a legitimate child. You don't know, even though it's a secondary prohibition, there's no mamzer shilas over here, right? The regular biblical erva will make the kid a mamzer, except for the case of Nida, of course. But everyone else will, all the rabbinic ervas, all the secondary ervas, they do not make a child a mamzer. It's just don't do it. But the kid is not a mamzer. The kofen no sold hosi, right? So we force the husband to divorce her in all these cases. Okay, Vayter. Let's say now almana. Almana le kohen gadol. You have almana, a widow who's married to a kohen gadol. The grush of a chalutza le kohen hedros, or even divorcee or a chalutza who are married to a regular kohen. Mamzeres unasina li Yisrael, or you have a mamzeres or an asina is married to a Yisrael, or bas Yisrael the nasin l'mamzer, or you have a regular bas Yisrael, a regular Jewess who's married to a nasin or a mamzer. Even though all these marriages are going to be technically usher and amida raisa level, as we've seen, yesh lehen ksuba, each of these women actually does receive her ksuba, and she also gets all the other benefits that we mentioned above, that we just mentioned. Meaning she gets paid for the produce, and she gets food, and she gets payment for the worn-out property. Why? So this is crazy. Why would you think she's violating a lesser prohibition when she marries the rabbinic prohibitions, but she gets less than? How could that be? So basically, it's explain that women who are usher midoraisa, so the rabbis, they're not concerned that people are going to start violating these marriage prohibitions restrictions if we allow her to get all these benefits. Everyone's going to understand this is a prohibited marriage, but okay, give her the benefits at least. But a secondary erva, which is only asur midirabanan, since people don't use, there's a concern at least, since people don't always treat rabbinic law as seriously as they should, or certainly not as seriously as Torah law, so the rabbis basically felt the need to like reinforce their prohibition by adding an extra penalty to any woman who violates prohibition. But so again, the rabbinic marriages, she loses out more. The rabbinically prohibited marriages, rather, she loses out more. And the Torah prohibited marriages, she doesn't really lose out at all as far as these benefits. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Gimel. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Dalet. But for now, we'll stop right here.